college, but he'll take applause, I promise. Leviticus chapter 23 tonight, and I want to thank you again for your testimonies and listening well. Thank you for listening well this morning, and I appreciate your attendance here tonight. Leviticus 23, and if you will join me in standing for the out of respect for the Word of God, Leviticus 23, we're going to read three verses. I'm going to explain this feast, and then I'm going to give you a short message tonight and try to tie all these things together. The Bible says in verse 23 of Leviticus 23, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of all things, blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." Heavenly Father, I thank you for passages of Scripture that seem to be so obscure, and yet they explain such a wide variety of things in our life. And God, I'm thankful for the application of this verse, this feast, the picture going forward for us as Christians. And Lord, I pray that you'll minister to us tonight as you already have. God, thank you for a good week. Thank you for the testimonies of how you have spoke to people. I know personally that you have encouraged me, Lord, both in the preaching and out of the church, just spending time with Brother Dave and Miss Nancy and my wife, and Lord, just hearing good things and having holy conversations and being reminded of the grace of God. We thank you for all of it. And Lord, now as we prepare to go into another new week, we pray that we would steward wisely this opportunity that we have. I pray that you'll help me tonight to communicate clearly. Lord, I believe this is what you want me to talk about and the way that you want me to talk about it. But Lord, I need your help. And so I ask that you'd help me and fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the words that I need to say to please you so that I could be a blessing to these that have come. I pray that you'll withhold from my lips those things that would hinder your Holy Spirit and that you'll work even on me again through this message as you did even in preparing it. I pray this all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now remember, the book of Leviticus, specifically chapter 23, we've been going through the different feasts. And here we have the final, in this passage, the final three feasts were celebrated, the Bible will tell us, in the seventh month, which would be our modern day September through October. The number seven, of course, is important to the Jewish calendar and in all of God's plans. You'll remember that in Daniel chapter 9, you'll read about seven over and over and over again. And there are seven feasts. Three of them are in the seventh month. The Sabbath, of course, is the seventh day of the week. Pentecost, though it was 50 days after the first fruits, you'll remember that it was seven times seven or seven sevens of 49 days. And then it was the day after that. The Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of the Tabernacle each lasted 7 days. Now that's significant because the Hebrew word for seven comes from a root word that means to be full or to be satisfied. It also related to the word meaning to swear or to make an oath. In other words, whenever the Lord sevens something, he's reminding his people that what he says and does is complete and it's dependable. We need to be reminded on a daily basis that we can depend on God, that we can depend on His Word, and nothing can be added to it. Now, according to Numbers chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, the Bible tells us about this specific feast that they were to blow silver trumpets on three different occasions within, not about this feast, but they were to blow three trumpets on three different occasions. One was to call the people together. Another was to announce that there was a war and they needed to go forward. And another, of course, was to announce special times. For instance, a new moon, the Bible talks about. The Feast of the Trumpets was held on the first day of the seventh month, and it ushered in what they knew as the new civil year. They call it Rosh Hashanah. How many have ever heard of Rosh Hashanah? That is the head of the year is what that means. So when these trumpets were sounded for the Feast of the Trumpets, it means, okay, though it's not the calendar new year, this is a new beginning for us. This is a new accounting. We're going to stop now and we're going to have something new. Now the picture for us then by this Feast of Trumpets is of course the calling of God's people and reminds us of new beginnings. He called, you'll remember back in Genesis chapter 6, that he called
his people at the time, Noah and his family, into the ark. He called, for instance, Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. He called his people out of Egypt. He called his people to go forward at the Dead Sea. And so into his temple, we find even in the Bible, as it mentions here in Numbers chapter 10, that he would assemble the saints and call them to worship together and to sacrifice. Now, it reminds me of the Word of God. In other words, you'll remember, in fact, maybe you want to turn there. Turn to Revelation, if you will, just for a minute, chapter 1. And this trumpet is symbolic, if you will, of the words of God. So that as God calls his people out, calls his people together, we know that even John, the Revelator, makes this illustration, the simile for us in Revelation chapter 1. Notice what it says in verse 10. The Bible says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, which, by the way, is the first day of the week, not on the Sabbath, and heard behind me a great voice as of a what class? As of a what? As of a trumpet. Notice what it says. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book. Now, let me ask you a question. Who is speaking there? Who? How do you know that? Because it's red letters, right? Because my Bible says it's red letters. Yes, the only Alpha and Omega that's ever said that is Jesus Christ. So we know who's saying it. Now, that trumpet sound is what he said it was like. Because, not like it was a trumpet sounding words, but because of the proclamation, because of the clarity of the sound, because of the calling, it was as it was, or as if it was, a trumpet. Now, if you think about that, by the word of God, God is still calling his people. He's still rallying the troops, onward Christian soldiers. He's still using the word of God to find out, hey, who is on the Lord's side, by the way? Who will go against the foe? Who is going to go into the battle? He still wants us to move forward. He still calls us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And by the way, the Bible indicates that one day the last trump of God will sound, and we will be called into heaven. By the way, to live in his presence forevermore. All right? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be ever, be with the Lord. Now, when these trumpets were sounded, it represented something new, that is, a new beginning. The trumpet sound for war. Now, this is the beginning of our march. This is the beginning of taking the order to go to the battle. The trumpet sound to collectively go to the temple and worship. This is a new beginning, another new opportunity to serve and sacrifice to the Lord. When the trumpet sounded to go forward. By the way, each tribe knew by the trumpet sound which tribe was to go first and in what direction. So each and every individual then was to listen for their trumpet to be sounded so that when they heard the call of God, if you'll give me that liberty, then they would be able to take advantage of the opportunity for whatever the call was. Now, that being said, I like what the old Scottish preacher Alexander White once said. He said this, and I quote, "The victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings." Did you hear what I said? The victorious Christian life, not the mediocre Christian life, not the lukewarm Christian life, the victorious Christian life, the Christian that is living victoriously, is a series of new beginnings. Now, God gives his people opportunities for new beginnings, and it is said we are foolish if we waste them. Now, unlike our modern New Year's Day celebrations, the Jews, when they got to Rosh Hashanah, used the first day of the new year for prayer. They used it for meditation and for confession. They sought to make a new beginning for the Lord. And as I was studying this feast, and I was studying, just thinking of meditating upon that quote and these things this last week, I thought of all the trumpets that have been sounded in my life. I thought about all the new beginnings that have led to greater things and advancements in grace that were full of God's love and His mercy. And then I thought about this last week. And I thought about some people who prayed for the first time. That was a new beginning. I thought about the revival meetings and how people were touched and how they were stirred. Like Brother Trujillo said, that you know, it starts in the heart, but sometimes it just moves to the head, and it was good to get it back to the heart. That's a new beginning. In other words, all of the new start-overs that we experience in our life, we would be foolish to waste last week. Would you agree with me? You'd be foolish. It would be foolish to come to church and listen to preaching and come to this altar and go home stirred, or like even during the prayer week, go home and sit with your wife and weep and say, it was so wonderful and I felt God's presence there, and I just feel like there's a revival already starting in my heart and I feel a peace in my heart. It would be a waste for us to go from now forward, leaving that behind, without saying, Lord, I want to take full advantage of what you've done. I want to have, when the trumpet sounded in revival meeting, I want that to be a new beginning. But in reality, there are many new beginnings that we can all relate to. And as I was thinking about this and thinking about getting back to the main thing of the gospel and the need for it in the world, I thought about all of our collective new beginnings. Let me share just a few with you. First of all, there's the new beginning at the point of salvation. And let's just face it, the day that you got saved, everything became new. You got a new purpose in life. You got a new life together. You were given new plans and new people to fellowship with around you. And you got a new start. It was fresh and brand new. God took you as a sinner and He sent you away a saint. Hallelujah for that. And we talked about that and we rejoiced in it. But listen, what good does it do as Brother McCracken stood right here and talked about wherein ye stand if we don't take advantage of it as a beginning? This isn't an end. It's the beginning. Salvation was your new birth. That's a beginning. Nobody has a baby and it gets born and says, well, that's it. That's all it's ever going to be. No. That's just the beginning of life. Now, you think about high school graduation. They call it a commencement. Well, what's a commencement? A beginning. College graduation. What is that called? A commencement. Why? Because it's a beginning. And God says, I want you to understand that you don't have to wait like the Jews did for this trumpet to sound once a year and go back to that. No. We as Christians have been given new beginnings over and over and over again. That's the whole point of this message. We had a new beginning at the point of salvation. That was the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life. And you found the grace of God that day sufficient. And you found His mercy overwhelming. That was the beginning. You see, then as you were going along, you heard another trumpet and another new beginning. That's at the place of surrender. Oh, it was great to have a new beginning and get saved and have your sins washed and all of that is all gone. But then one day you came to church and you heard a Bible principle, maybe even this last week, and something that you had never contemplated before. And all of a sudden, God starts to knock at your heart and prick at you. And you heard more clearly and more clearly and more clearly the Word of God, and you knew that He wanted you to start something new. You knew that He was leading you in a direction. He was calling you to surrender perhaps your Sunday morning family breakfast and begin to attending an adult Bible study, a new beginning. That takes adjustment. It takes grace and management of time and emotion and effort. But you did it because you heard God's trumpet call. Then there was the trumpet that sounded for you when it was time to get baptized and join the church. You just knew God wanted you to do it. And as you wanted to be subject to the authority of the church and according to Scripture and follow the Lord Jesus Himself was baptized and identify with the message, you just knew that God was saying, hey, I want you to surrender your right to say no. I want you to live in obedience to me. I want you to partake of the fullness of my plan, my vehicle, the church. And so you surrendered. Another time of surrender would have been when you were going to give to the Lord what rightly belonged to him in recognition and gratitude for him supplying all of your needs. Someone came up to me this morning and said, Pastor, I just want you to know I started tithing for the very first time a month ago. Man, that's a blessing. But I got to be honest with you, it scared me. And I said, whew, man, I'm glad you did it, but man, don't, when God prompts you to do something, don't wait. Look, if you haven't started tithing yet, I wouldn't wait if I were you. Don't wait. If you're not giving what is rightly God's, first of all, you're stealing from God. Second of all, understand this, God will get what's his one way or the other. I told this individual, I said, hey, don't do that anymore because you could end up in the hospital, your car could fall apart, your house will fall apart. I don't know what's going to happen, but you want to make sure that God gets his. You're just, I said to her, you're just short-suiting your blessings. That's all that you're doing. Sometimes God says, hey, I want you to surrender what you think is yours and it's actually mine. The surrender of Wednesday night service, the surrender to be a witness, we heard that. The surrender, some people hear actually, eventually, a very clear call to full-time Christian service. Man, I will tell you, when I sat at a missions conference when I was in the United States Air Force, I was living prime-time life. I loved it. I loved my job. I loved my church. I was loving my family. We had a couple other kids, and we were just scooting right along, and I had my plans. And then God said, hey, wait a minute. And I heard a voice as if it were a trumpet. I'm telling you, it was the most deafening thing I've ever heard in my life. And I knew that God wanted me to surrender my life to full-time Christian service. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he wanted me to preach his precious and holy word. And that's what began for me. Do you remember what it was like when you first started stepping out by faith? Remember when you got baptized? And you were done and you thought, man, that's cool. What was that, a new beginning? Because every new beginning requires new faith. It requires new grace. When people say, I'm going to give for the first time, what does that require? New faith. It requires a different grace. And every one of those times is a new beginning. God says there, the point of salvation at the place of surrender. When people with the Spirit of God in them read or hear the verse, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Sometimes the trumpet goes off and says, hey, you're not doing that. I want you to do that now. There's an error in your life that's not glorifying to me. Start today glorifying me. What is that? It's a new beginning. Some people have to surrender the vocabulary to God. Some people have to surrender, they have to surrender their own lifestyle. They have to surrender their friends. But God says, hey, regardless, I want you to listen for the trumpet because you need to start anew today. You need to begin again. You start at that point, at the place of surrender. Thirdly, I want you to see it also could be at the prayer as a prayerful sacrifice. Now, I love this passage in 2 Samuel chapter 24. It says, and the king said unto Arunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee, speaking of the threshing floor where David's going to build the temple eventually, buy it of thee for a price. Neither will I offer, watch, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. This man, Arunah, was going to give David his property. And by the way, he was going to give him the oxen and all of the gear that goes with them for a sacrifice. And David said, no. I'm not going to offer to God what costs me nothing. Sometimes we get into a service and we hear of a need and the trumpet sounds of people that to people who are saved and they say, you know, God, I believe that above my tithe you want me to sacrifice. I've heard people say, I'm going to sacrifice every month this much Starbucks so I could give to God. And for some people, it is a sacrifice to give up your coffee, okay? Other people, like, by the way, this last week, as we've already heard, you sacrificed your time to God, and you did it in prayer. When you were pricked of the Holy Spirit, you put your name back there, and you said, Lord, I'll sacrifice that time to you. It's okay for me to miss 15 minutes or so of sleep so that I can pray, Lord, you're worth it. That's a new beginning. Some of you, you didn't know what it was going to be like, and it was all new. And I have yet to have somebody come up to me and say, "Pastor, that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I am offended that you wanted us to pray at ungodly hours in the morning, and it was not a blessing, and I regret doing it." Now, if that's, please don't tell me if you do feel that way, okay? But I don't have anybody that has said that to me yet. You know why? Because they realized it was a sacrifice. And they made that decision prayerfully. Years ago, when my wife decided that we were going to give to missions, not in lieu of our tithe, but on top of our tithe, it was a sacrifice. And it was beginning new faith. And saying, "God, we don't know how we're going to do it, but by faith we're going to give to missions because we know that you want people to be saved. And we don't know how you're going to provide the backside for that, but we trust you." And we have started, and since that time we have given and given above and increased and given above and increased. And God has always provided for us. Why? Because we're so worthy? Because we're so good? No, because he's so faithful. And he honors that sacrifice. Look, it took sacrifice for some 50 people to come out here yesterday. You had to sacrifice something on your Saturday to come and go and knock on a door and leave a track or talk to somebody in the store. It's a sacrifice. You could have been doing any number of things, and yet you came here. That was a sacrifice. Years ago, I preached a message on leftovers, and I said, God hates leftovers. And I made the statement, why does God always get the leftovers? We're talking about giving to missions. A couple of days after that, I got an offering envelope with this note in it from a young man who at the time I'm assuming was 11, 12, 13 years old. This is what he says. "I still have it. I keep it in my desk to remind me of the goodness of God and what God does when people are listening with ready ears to hear." This is what it says. "Pastor, I wasn't going to give my money because I was saving up for an iPad mini. But when I heard you say, 'Why does God get the leftovers?' it touched me, so I decided to give this money. It was $100. Isn't that sweet? That's why I keep it. Because it's sweet. Because for that kid, it was a new beginning. He said, "I don't know if I'm ever going to get an iPad mini, but I know what God's going to do with my money. He's going to use it on the mission field." That amount of money supported one missionary for 1 month on our budget. What a blessing. How did he come to that? Through prayer. What did he hear? The trumpet of God and the word of God came to him, and he said, "Hey, here's a new beginning for you. I want you to trust me for the iPad mini." I talked to his mother, and I said, "Man, I don't know about you, but that makes me want to go buy him an iPad mini." And I don't know if he's got it since or not, but my point is this. We can do what God calls us to do, and when we do, it's a new beginning. Number four. This one's a little more practical. We see the point of salvation, the place of surrender is a new beginning. A prayer for sacrifice to God is a new beginning. Number four. There are particular seasons of life that God affords us as human beings to start over again. A new beginning is the time to take inventory. When Rosh Hashanah was announced, they said, "Okay, we're pulling over, we're going to pray, we're going to look at our life, we're going to take stock, and we're going to remember that we don't need the gospel here, we need the gospel here so that we can put it there, because those feet that take the good news out are what God says is blessed, and I want to be one of those people, and I want God to use me, and I want to start over again, a new beginning. When the trumpet sounds, I want to start again." When we go to heaven, it's going to be all new. We've never been there. We've never seen what's there. We can only see it through the eyes of Scripture, but I tell you this, it's going to be brand spanking new. We're not going to know what to expect realistically. When we get there, our bodies will be new. Everything about heaven will be brand new, and it'll be that way for all of eternity. And God says, well, there are points of time in your life when I want you to remember this transition that provides for you a new beginning. Marriage is a new beginning. When you stand before a preacher and you vow to God that you're going to love this sinner for who he is, and this sinner for who she is, she probably a little more of a sinner than he is, but regardless, you're standing there and you're making that vow. Guess what? When those people leave that church, they're starting something new. They're starting it together. Everything now changes. They have to have a new faith. They have to have a new grace. When you have the announcement of your first baby, and you not just announce it, I mean, that's all just kind of overwhelming and shocking as it is, but when you actually hold that baby for the very first time, it causes you to stop, doesn't it? It causes you to look at that little baby and think, wow, I am responsible for this life. And I don't want to waste this new beginning. I want to take stock of where I am. So many people will come to our church right after they have a baby or when the baby gets to a certain age and say, you know, I just felt like we needed to raise our child in church. What are they doing? It's a new beginning. What do they need? They need new faith. They need new grace. God is asking them, hey, take inventory. I'm allowing you to start over again. Whenever somebody dies, the season in life when somebody that you love and somebody who's very close to you departs from this life onto the other side and goes into the next life, that's a new beginning. You've never lived without them. You've always had them around. You've always been able to call them on the phone. You've always been able to hold their hand when you go outside. You've always been able to trust that if you really needed something, they were always going to be there, and now all of a sudden they're not. I'm reminded in the Bible of Joshua chapter 3, the Bible says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, and 2,000 cubits by measure, come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go. Listen, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Joshua is being told by God, hey, I want you to understand that when the priests take up the Ark of the Covenant and they step out into that Jordan, you've never done this before. So I'm going to help you. I want you to walk at the pace and the distance that I tell you to walk, because you've not walked this way heretofore. And that's what happens when somebody dies. God says, you've never had to deal with that life without this individual, and I want you to know, because you've never passed this way, I'm going to give you new grace. And I want you to walk carefully. Don't waste this new beginning. I haven't done a whole lot of funerals. I don't necessarily enjoy them, but I do enjoy watching God use the funeral. I do enjoy watching people assess the finality of life. And the eternality of heaven. I love to watch people assess that. People start looking at it, and all of you can see the gears moving as the word of God is preached, and God is saying, hey, listen, I have a new beginning for you today if you'll just listen. People get a new job, they get a new position, new surroundings. What's that? A new beginning. The Burkholders, when they moved here. What is that? What's a chance for you guys? A new beginning. Kinsley and Travis got married just a few months ago. What was that? That's a new beginning. We've all had people we love. My mother died a couple of years ago this last month. What was that? That was a new beginning. I've never lived life without my mama. And this year may be the year that I don't get to live life with my daddy anymore. And that will be a new beginning. I will be glad to stop and take an assessment and say, Lord, I just want to make sure, because I'm not past this way to four, that I don't waste this new time. Every trial is really a new beginning. The Bible says, let patience have her perfect work. What's the trial there for? It's to get you to take account, to reconcile your life and say, hey, you've not gone this way. I want to help you. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. He's taking me in a way where I can start over again through this valley. Now, God's people then apparently are supposed to be on the move to higher ground. When the trumpet of God's word sounds in your heart, if you follow it, it leads you into a new beginning, which requires new grace and new faith. Let me give you number five, and we're done. I want you to understand that every day you wake up is a new beginning. Every permitted sunrise. I love Lamentations 3:21. It goes like this. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. And this is what he recalls. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Did you hear that? They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So do you understand that in reality, the revival is a new beginning. New Year's Day, obviously, we would say, well, that's a new beginning. That's why we have the 40 days of hope. Then you fast forward, at the end of next month is Easter, a new beginning. Then you fast forward, let's say, to Thanksgiving and Christmas. We would say all those are new beginning. But you know, in reality, every Lord's table is a new beginning. We come and take inventory. We recognize and memorialize the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And as a church family, we partake. What is that? It's a chance to start over. And God says, but I want you to understand that I've reduced it down to something that you can have every day, a new beginning every day. How many, don't raise your hands, how many of us perhaps even yesterday blew it some way? We just blew it. We let our guard down. We said something. We did something we shouldn't have done. We thought something. We reacted in a certain way, and we shouldn't have done it. And you woke up this morning, and his mercies were new. You had a new beginning. You could start all over again. You could said this morning, I'm going to start right. I ended wrong, and I'm going to start right today. But wait a minute. All last week you prayed, and the devil said, look, you've already started over all those times, and you've offended all these people, and you've offended your wife. And how can you possibly say that today you're going to get a new start? Now, wait a minute. Seven is significant in the Bible. We've already said that. It's satisfaction. It's fulfillment. When I look at the forgiveness that Jesus told Peter about, he said 70 times seven. It is the infinite number of God's forgiveness, which reminds me that it doesn't matter how many times I have messed up. If I wake up in the morning, I get to start all over again. Even if I've had revival last week. Even if I forgot that today was Sunday and I came to church and I offended somebody in our church family, or I offended somebody in my own family. Look, I can stop wherever I am and have a new beginning by the grace of God. And I can say, Lord, I plead the blood of Christ. I just blew it. When you get up tomorrow morning, should God allow you to wake up? What is it? When that sun comes over the horizon, what's he trying to say? He's trying to say, we get to start over again today. Kyle, it's me and you. What say ye? Should we walk together? What say ye? Is my word sufficient for you? According to the Bible, you can be content because he hath said. Is that enough? But Lord, I blew it yesterday. Doesn't matter. Yesterday's yesterday. Today is where I'm at. Today's where you find yourself. Today is a new beginning. Watch this. We get the opportunity every day we wake up to say, Lord, today I'm going to make right decisions by the grace of God. I want to let the revival meeting and what was stirred in me to change today so I don't waste this new beginning. Many of us, perhaps even today, said, Lord, as many people all over the auditorium said, God spoke to me about being a laborer in the harvest. I want to be a faithful laborer. I am volunteering for God to use me. God put somebody on my heart. I want to be interested in what God is interested in. He can have me. He can use me. Wonderful. That's a new beginning, but it starts tomorrow. Tomorrow when you wake up, it starts again. You're going to have to remind yourself, hey, today's a new day. Today, you get to make right decisions. You get to say right things. You get to do loving things. You can be kind today. You can be sweet. You can endure all things. You can think right things. You can love right. But don't forget what you said yesterday in church. today you get to live your decision from yesterday. And every day after that, we get to begin again. Do you know that's what makes the Christian life so awesome? Is that it doesn't matter how many days we have wasted and failed. God says, I've given you a new sunrise today, and I want you to start all over again. One of my favorite places is in the Eastern Sierra, and my favorite time while I'm there is when the sun comes over the mountains on the lake, because there's not a ripple in the water. Normally, there's a little fog that's over the water, and it's just calm, and it's peaceful. And every time I see that sun bounce off that lake, I'm reminded of Lamentations 3:21. I bring these things to my mind, and when I do, I have hope that today's mercies are new, that I get to do right things today for the Lord. This revival meeting started some things in people's lives. Some people prayed for the first time. Some people this week will probably hand out their very first track, or maybe they will speak to somebody for the very first time. What do you need at that point? You need new grace. So what are we gonna pray for tomorrow when we wake up? How are we gonna use this new time, this new beginning? Every year I look forward to the 40 days of focus. I'm going to revamp it again next year, and I want people to use it, and I want people to grow from it. And if you haven't finished the New Testament yet, man, don't quit. Don't quit. Keep going. Tomorrow's a new day. You can read another chapter. You can spend 5 more minutes tomorrow in prayer, but don't quit. Use the new beginning that you have every single day that you wake up, and I know that God will bless you for it. The testimonies that were given tonight, man, this is, God's never spoke to me that way before. I've never done this before. Carlos said, I handed out my first track to a guy, and it was a small thing to go get burritos, but we'll forgive him for that. But I did this. I found myself witnessing. I wasn't even expecting to. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Had Carlos and Maria not come to our church, I doubt that he would ever have done that. I mean, he said that to me. Now look, every time you're here is a new beginning. Every church service. God says, okay, push the reset button. Now it's time to take advantage of the new beginning. Let me ask you a question. What are you going to do this week because of last week? What's going to be different? What's going to be new about tomorrow because you were in church almost all last week? What's going to be new about the way you handle the Word of God? What's going to be new about the way, if we just want to recall some things that Brother McCracken talked about, what's going to be new about the way you sit in church? What's going to be new about the way you treat your family? What's going to be new about your faith? Because we were all spoken to about those things. And God says, now I'm giving you this opportunity. The Feast of the Trumpets, I'm sure for many people in Israel, was a time to go, oh yeah, okay, it's time to start over again. The harvest is done. Now we're into this time of the season, and we can civilly come back and say, all right, Lord, it's time to take spiritual inventory, and now we want to do things different. Thank you for the new beginning. Well, it's not New Year's, but it is February 21st. So what's significant about that? Nothing, but the Lord gave you life today. Let me ask you how you stewarded it. How'd you steward your thoughts today? How are you going to steward them tomorrow? You see, that's the whole basis of the message. Let's not waste what God did last week. If God gives you breath tomorrow, don't waste it. Hey, listen, if He gives you a paycheck, don't waste the opportunity to tithe. If He gives you the opportunity and the trumpet sounds and says, hey, you're not giving the missions, you need to give the missions, don't waste it. That's a new beginning. If God says, hey, your neighbor needs a track, or I want you to go talk to one of them, or that person in the grocery store, or that person at the gas station, whatever it is, that's a new beginning. Don't waste it. When God's trumpet sounds in your head, in your heart, listen and follow right away. Father, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity tonight to begin again. And I'm thankful for what you did this last week. I'm thankful for what you did today. And Lord, even in my own heart, I'm just so grateful for the opportunities that you give us to start over. Thank you for your forgiveness and for your mercy. God, we blow it all the time, but I'm so grateful that you're long-suffering with us. And if you give us life in the morning, that means you have a new day for us to serve you and to live better than we did yesterday. So I pray that we would not waste the new beginnings. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the call to surrender. Thank you for the trumpet call to sacrifice. Thank you, Father, for the different seasons in life that require a new beginning. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be faithful during these times. Help us to listen and obey. I pray in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just